The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, NDC delegates to decide candidature of John Mahama as flag bearer today. President John Mahama grateful to Asante Man for support during national funeral celebration of Professor Mills. Imani Ghana worried NPP proposed free SHS policy could collapse entire education system. ECG assures public of frantic efforts to find lasting solutions to load shedding. Nigeria's Minister of Power resigns. Summit of non-aligned movement underway in Tehran with Syria high on agenda. And Queen Elizabeth opens 2012 Paralympics in London. First, the summary with Barbara Yakubu.
More than 2,800 delegates have arrived in Kumasi at a special NDC Delegates Congress to vote for or against the sole aspirant President John Dramani Mahama. Briefing the media at the Babayaras Paul Stadium, the General Secretary of the party, Johnson Asiedun Ketia, said 15 ballot boxes have been provided to fast-track the voting process. Meanwhile, President Mahama, who is in Kumasi, has expressed gratitude to the Asante Mine Council for the support during the funeral of Professor John Evans Atta Mills. Policy think tank Imani Ghana is raising issues with the question of the free SHS policy of the NPP. A day after the party launched its 2012 manifesto, Executive Director Franklin Kujo believes the NPP must target students who cannot afford to pay the fees rather than implementing the policy en bloc. The Electricity Company of Ghana has described the current load shedding as a crisis situation which happened accidentally. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the Deputy Public Relations Manager of the company, William Boateng, said his outfit is yet to release a timetable for the exercise, adding that engineers are working hard to resolve the crisis. And the London 2012 Paralympics has officially opened with a spectacular ceremony watched by about 80,000 spectators. Paralympics chief Lord Cole told the crowd to be prepared to be inspired, dazzled, and to be moved.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
The news in detail. More than 2,800 delegates of the NDC Special Congress in Kumasi today will vote or against the sole aspirant, President John Dramani Mahama. This is contrary to claims that he would be popularly acclaimed at the Congress. The National Executive Committee has also certified his nomination forms and declared him eligible to stand. 15 ballot boxes have been provided to fast-track voting process.
We certified that the nomination has been completed properly, and it is after that certification that we proceeded authorizing the Electoral Commission to print the ballot papers. And so the ballot paper that will be presented will have only the picture of His Excellency the President with the question whether you accept him as the flag bearer of NDC. And then there will be a slot for no and there will be a slot for yes. So we have a specimen here. This is a specimen ballot paper. So do you approve of John Dramani Mahama as the presidential candidate for the National Democratic Congress for 2012? And the response, you have yes and you have no. So after the yes and no, you fold it and put it in the ballot box. And we'll position 15 ballot boxes so that we can finish the process quickly. Two ballot boxes each for each of the bigger regions, and then a ballot box each for the smaller regions.
You heard General Secretary of the NDC, Johnson Asiedun Ketia. President John Dramani Mahama has stated that this year's election is not a do-and-die affair. According to him, it is God that chooses a leader for a nation and not the prerogative of man. He has therefore called on all well-meaning Ghanaians to approach these elections with a clear mind and clean heart and leave the final verdict into the hands of God. The president was addressing a debate of chiefs and people at the Mensia Park in Kumasi as part of the National Thank You Tour. On behalf of government, he expressed gratitude to Asante Mine Council who fully participated in the funeral of President Atta Mills. Pascalina Badavu reports.
The Ashanti Regional Capital Kumasi gave President John Dramani Mahama an impressive welcome. Hundreds of residents lined the streets and waved miniature flags as the president's convoy moved from the airport to the Nisha Park to address a debate of chiefs and people. Motorcyclists, buses filled with people, private vehicles decorated with national and party colors could not be left out. Otunfo's 82 is out of the country as tradition demands the president called on Otunfo's mother, Nane Fiakobisawampim. Addressing a debate later, President John Mahama reiterated the fact that politics is not a context of insult and vilification. He said it is God that makes a king, and so everyone should go into this year's elections with a clean heart, and God in his own wisdom will choose a leader for the country.
As President of the Republic of Ghana, the security services, the voice of the people is the voice of God.
The president also condemned the misuse of the airways by some party foot soldiers or politicians who insult leaders with impunity. He said culturally such behavior is deviant and must not be entertained. A representative of Otunfo's 82 Dasebro Sebunsu advised President Mahama to be strong and stand firm in this difficult moment whilst working to ensure that the peace that the country is enjoying is not compromised.
Pascalina Dadevo reporting. Hundreds of MDC supporters thronged the Kumasi airport yesterday to welcome the Vice President Pakwesi Misahatha, who is in Kumasi to attend the Special Delegates Congress of the party. He arrived with the Chief of Staff, John Henry Martin Newman. He was received by the Deputy Ashanti Regional Minister, Mercy Enima Wilson, KMA Chief Executive Samuel Sapon, and other party leaders. Vice President Misahatha acknowledged the singing supporters with handshake. NDC supporters welcoming Vice President Pakwesi Misahatha to Kumasi. Still on the NDC, the party has cautioned that the security agencies and the law will deal decisively with anyone or group of individuals who will attempt to foment trouble during the party's congress, which begins in Kumasi today. According to the General Secretary of the party, Johnson Isiedunketia, the political parties have agreed not to shield any supporter who breaks the law. According to the addressing the media at the Babayara Sports Stadium in Kumasi, he cautioned the media not to create any unnecessary panic in reporting on the Congress, citing previous NDC Congresses and other incidents.
We observe that our colleagues in MPP have started posting their posters in and around the precincts of this Congress. We realize that normally these things, however provocative as they might be, they are always not the result of a meeting of any party at a national level, but they result from people who I will call busybodies, who think that by doing certain things to offend the opposing party, they claim to be sacrificing their own party leadership. I want to tell Ghanaians that the leadership of NDC, the leadership of MPP, the leadership of PPP, the leadership of CPP, and the leadership of PNC have all agreed that we are not going to tolerate this type of behavior, and we are not going to reward any of our party members for engaging in this type of behavior. We are using this medium to warn all those troublemakers that they are being watched very, very closely, that NDC will not condone any such behavior at all. And when it happens, whether you are in NDC t-shirt or you are in elephant skin, you will be dealt with equally according to the laws of this country.
Mr. Siedun Ketian said it is wrong for anybody to say that the Ashanti region is an enemy territory for the party. Rather, the region is the party's stronghold, as any time it polls more than 30% of the votes cast in a general election, it wins the election. He said the party is determined to win more than 30% of the votes in the Ashanti region come December.
Our records show that any time NDC fails to get 30% of the presidential vote in Ashanti region, we go out of power. But any time we get 30%, we are already in power. Secondly, when we take our presidential votes, Ashanti region is always within the first 5 out of the 10 regions in terms of the volume of votes we get for NDC presidential elections. And I'm proud to announce that in the 2008 elections, Ashanti region became 4th out of the 10 regions as far as NDC votes were concerned. And we are very confident that the 2012 election will return even more gargantuan votes from Ashanti region.
You heard General Secretary of the NDC, Johnson Esiedun Ketia. Now to the NPP, where its flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo has formally launched the party's manifesto for 2012 elections at a media event in Accra. Nana Addo stated that the NPP has a dynamic and competent team to manage the difficulties the country is going through by restructuring the economy to maximize growth. The NPP describes the manifesto, Transforming Our Lives, Transforming Ghana, as a perfect blueprint to execute the party's agenda when given the mandate at the general elections. Rebecca Ekpe was at the launch and has filed this report.
NPP's manifesto launch presented speakers who gave highlights on economic transformation, infrastructure development, housing, governance, health and youth empowerment. Others are education, agriculture, trade, industry and foreign affairs. Nana Akufo-Addo's running mate, Dr. Mamadou Bawumia, said NPP intends to transform the economy into an industrialized one by adding value to agriculture, providing a high-value service sector, and expanding the tax base by formalizing the economy. Dr. Bawumia, who spoke on the economy, said the NPP will also establish economic clusters by bringing businesses within a specific sector together to create what he calls growth poles in the economy. The NPP will also implement what Dr. Bawumia calls solid macroeconomic management to avert the depreciation of the cedi.
We will really reduce the overall cost of doing business in this context, ensure macroeconomic stability. It is very, very sad that currently our cedi is virtually collapsing.
NPP flag bearer Nana Akufo-Addo, speaking on Leadership Matters, said the country has no choice at this time than to embrace his free SHS policy. On restructuring the economy, Nana Addo said the NPP will lay emphasis on the Ghanaian private sector. In his view, a strong private sector holds the key to the country's economic development.
If we want different results, we have to do things differently. I'm lucky to have an enthusiastic, dynamic and competent team. That is all a leader can ask for. I want to plead with you, the media practitioners, to continue to play the important role of helping to deepen our democracy. It is not in anybody's interest that the people of Ghana should be or become cynical about politics. I give you my pledge. I will fight corruption, and I want you all to be in this fight.
The NPP is appealing to the people of Ghana to allow the party to take charge of managing the country's affairs. Party Chairman Jake Obetchebi-Lamte impressed upon the media to ensure that the NPP's manifesto is explained accurately to the people.
Rebecca Ekpe filed that report. A day after the NPP launched its 2012 manifesto, Imani Ghana is still raising issues with the costing of the free SHS policy. Executive Director Franklin Kujo believes the NPP must target students who cannot afford to pay the fees rather than implementing the policy en bloc. He said if the policy is not properly structured before it is implemented, it will collapse the current school system and force parents to take their wards to private schools. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
About 25 years ago, we embarked on this free basic education policy. We had a situation where for 9 years, we thought if we had free basic education, we were going to create a critical mass of masons, carpenters, and what have you, so that middle level vocational technical skill that was required would have solved that. Guess what? I mean, we haven't been able to achieve that creditably. Yes, literacy rates have gone up. The standards are falling. As you and I know, we've been complaining there's graduate unemployment and even that some of the graduates are unemployable. It looks to me that some of these fundamental issues ought to be looked at. Secondly, is it the case? This policy, which I call free beyond free, essentially, what is it achieving? Is it supposed to save those who are falling through the cracks because they are poor, or is it really to solve the problem of proficiency? And I explain proficiency here. The fact of the matter is that if you are making the argument that no child should be left behind, where after the GSS program, people find it difficult to appreciate the curriculum. That's why they fail. That's why close to 50% always fail. It is not because they are possibly poor. I mean, you've not done any proper means testing to even determine how many people are poor.
That was the executive director of Imani Ghana, Franklin Kujo. Meanwhile, the head of policy monitoring and evaluation at the office of the president, Dr. Tony Adu, says implementing the free SHS policy promised in the NPP's manifesto will amount to wasting resources that can be used to solve the unemployment situation and develop the job market.
But thinking big and thinking positive does not mean that you must plunge into adventurism and experimenting. Agree with our man from demand when he says that we must not sacrifice quality for quantity throughout the world. And we must study the economic history of numerous countries to the stage where they were in a position to provide fee-free education. And you will find that at every stage, the means are based on the socioeconomic background of the people and the ability of parents to pay have determined.
Head of Policy Monitoring and Evaluation at the Office of the President, Dr. Tony Adu. The presidential candidate of the Progressive People's Party, PPP, Dr. Parkwesi Indum, says if he becomes president, he will make education free, compulsory, and continues from kindergarten to senior high school. All facilities to make teaching and learning conducive in schools will be provided by the state. Dr. Indum said this when he outlined some programs during a meeting with the Trades Union Congress TUC in Accra. Ernesto Binyanim has filed this report. The 15-member executive of the Progressive People's Party, PPP, led by the presidential candidate, Dr. Parkwesi Indum, met the TUC in Accra to outline its programs to the union. The members included the National Secretary, Kofi Siawasamwa, Parliamentary Candidate for Ayawaso West Wagon, William Dowokpo, Communications Director, Richard Kilson, and a member of the communications team, Samuel Amuakon. Welcoming the PPP executives, the Secretary General of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, appealed to all political parties to watch their utterances to avoid chaos. He said, as a union, members are encouraged to vote for any political party of their choice after listening to their programs. Touching on industry, he said, many industries have collapsed due to lack of support from government on joblessness. He said, it is worrying to see able-bodied young men roaming the streets selling dog chains. Ernest Obianin filed that report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories. NDC delegates to decide candidature of John Mahama as flag bearer today. President John Mahama grateful to Asante Man for support during national funeral celebration of Professor Mills. Imani Ghana worried NPP proposed free SHS policy could collapse entire education system. ECG assures public of frantic efforts to find lasting solutions to load shedding. summit of the non-aligned movement underway in Tehran with Syria high on agenda. And Queen Elizabeth opens 2012 Paralympics in London. Please stay with us.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. The Executive Director of the International Press Institute, Alison Bethel Mackenzie, has stressed the need for the media, government and civil society groups to work hand in hand during elections. This, according to her, would ensure transparency and accountability for any election. Ms. Mackenzie made the call during a sensitization workshop for media personnel and civil society groups in Sunyang. The workshop, dubbed Media for Democracy Convention on the 2012 elections, is an initiative of the Ghana Journalists Association with support from the U.S. Embassy. The Deputy Public Relations Manager of the Electricity Company of Ghana, William Boateng, has described the current load shedding as a crisis situation which happened accidentally. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Mr. Boateng said the cause was unexpected, and though it is a nationwide exercise, engineers are working hard to solve it. He explained that his outfit is yet to release a timetable for the exercise. He assured Ghanaians that the company has put in place long and short-term measures to find a lasting solution to the load shedding menace.
This one is an accident, you understand? And so at least we should see it as a crisis situation, not the normal situation. This particular one started 3 days ago when we were informed that due to a blast on the North African gas pipeline, where power is being supplied from, in fact, the gas is being supplied from Nigeria to Ghana, there's a blast. And so there's a sudden shortage of gas. And you know, in our production of power or generation of power, there's that mix of the thermal and then the hydro. And so as I speak with you now, we have been told that they have shut down the entire Azogbe plant, which uses the gas. And that's about, we lost about 200 megawatts. And so we're asked to undertake an immediate load shedding, which is more severe than the previous one because of shortage power supply. So that's what we just started. So yesterday, we shed about 100 megawatts during the day. In the evening, we shed about 230 megawatts. And that's huge. In fact, if you look at what we've been doing previously, where the system was a bit relaxed, this is more severe if you compare to the previous one. And so that's what we are doing as I speak with you now. This evening, there will be another load shedding. According to my information, it will be shedding around 400 megawatts. Our engineers are working around the clock. They are trying to draw up a program so that we can publish, and our customers and the general public will be able to cross-check in the newspapers when they'll be off, and then they'll take measures.
So roughly, how many days are we looking at, or how long is this going to take?
As a matter of fact, we are still waiting for a full report on when they are going to complete the job or the problem. As I speak to you now, we don't know when they are going to fix the problem. We have an idea about the fact that they started something, but I'm sure that as the days go by, we will be able to confirm and then be able to inform our public when this particular severe load shedding is going to come to an
end. Is it a nationwide thing concentrated around?
It's going to be nationwide. In fact, when we are informed to shed load, for example, from Biko, we ensure that when it is more of a load shedding of this nature, we try to spread it nationwide, or else one particular region is going to suffer unduly. So we spread it. That has been the usual way of doing things with our system. In fact, if the load is heavier, it's so heavy that you cannot take it to any region apart from spreading it. This is not a small load shedding like 20 megawatts on this quite.
Okay, are we ever going to see a lasting solution to this load shedding problem we're having?
Oh, yes. We will definitely reach a stage where power is going to be stable, because there's a short-term and medium-term plans in terms of power generation. And I think that by October, we should have a solution.
Deputy Public Relations Officer of the ECG, William Boateng. The Volta Regional Minister, Hereford Kamel, has lauded the security services in the region for the professional manner in which they handled the recent impasse between Muslims and native youth of the Hohoe Township. He said this at the 7th Garrison's Exercise Bridget, a program which brings the security services in the Volta region together to deliberate on security issues. The Director General of Joint Operations and Plans, Brigadier General Daniel K. Nishio, spoke on the preparations of the military high command is putting in place to make this year's elections a success. He said there were acquisitions of new vehicles equipped with communication gadgets, among others, to facilitate good communication among the troops in the region. The various heads of the security agencies within the region also took turns to outline their plans and preparations towards the same cause. The exercise included participants from the sister security agencies within the Volta region, the Prison Service, Immigration, and the Customs Division of the Ghana Revenue Service. Now to the foreign front. The Nigerian government says the sudden resignation of Professor Bath Inaji as Minister of Power would not affect the ongoing privatization program of the nation's power sector. Minister of Information Labaran Maku said the action would not in any way hamper the process of privatization of the power holding company in Nigeria. He enjoined Nigerians to see the resignation of the minister as a patriotic act, which would rather assure investors in the power sector and reinforce confidence in the system. Mr. Maku also reiterated the determination of the federal government to stabilize power through the implementation of its power roadmap. Iran is hosting leaders from around the world for a two-day summit of the Non-Aligned Movement, which it hopes will boost its position on the international stage. The event has already upset Washington after UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon announced his attendance. The U.S. has imposed tight sanctions on Iran. The event has already upset Washington after UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon announced his attendance. On the summit's agenda are finding a solution to the crisis in Syria, human rights and nuclear disarmament. The two-day summit, which ends a week of meetings in Tehran, involves delegates and leaders from 50 countries of the 120 non-aligned movement. The Queen has declared the London 2012 Paralympics officially open during a spectacular opening ceremony watched by some 80,000 spectators. Britain's first Paralympic Games gold medalist, Margaret Morgan, 84, had the honor of lighting the cauldron. Paralympics chief Lord Cole told the crowd to be prepared, to be inspired, dazzled, and to be moved. Earlier, athletes paraded around the Olympic Stadium, with Paralympics entering last to huge cheers. Now to end the news, the main points again. More than 2,800 delegates have arrived in Kumasi at the special NDC Congress to vote or against the sole aspirant President John Dramani Mahama. Policy think tank Imani Ghana is still raising issues with the costing of the free SHS policy of the NPP a day after the party launched its 2012 manifesto. The Electricity Company of Ghana has described the current load shedding as a crisis situation which happened accidentally. In an interview with Radio Ghana, the Deputy Public Relations Manager of the company, William Boateng, said his outfit is yet to release a timetable for the exercise, adding that engineers are working hard to solve the crisis. And the London 2012 Paralympics has officially opened with a spectacular ceremony watched by some 80,000 spectators. Paralympics chief Lord Cole told the crowd to be prepared, to be inspired, dazzled, and to be moved. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.